CJMQ 88.9 FM, and it's time again for another segment of At the Movies with Mel, with Melanie Cutting doing movie reviews. So we welcome you.
Hello.
And did you see a movie this week?
I saw not one, not two, but three movies this week.
Three movies.
Partly because of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And also there just are a number of movies playing around that I really have wanted to see. The mm-hmm. one that I, the first one of the three that I saw was the Bad Times at the El Royale.
Okay.
Which at, this was a little while back now, last mm-hmm. week, was playing at the Maison de Cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And for its first week or two there, it was only in French.
Mm-hmm.
And then in its last, unfortunately, its last week, the English version suddenly appeared.
Mm.
So it said last week, so I thought, but I'm going to go see it anyway, even though by the time I get to the review, it won't be there anymore. Anyway, Bad Times at the El Royale was entertaining, kind of weird, a bit kind of eerie, about a hotel, an abandoned hotel, or virtually abandoned hotel, right on the dividing line between California and Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
So basically kind of in the Reno area. And which is, when I was watching this, I was thinking of because they've got a dividing line down the center of the hotel. Mm-hmm. And on one side are the rooms in California and on the other side are the rooms in Nevada, which reminded me of the Haskell Opera House, where depending on where you're sitting in the theater, you're either sitting in Vermont or you're sitting in Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
So this was maybe that's what I thought of. And there's some strange characters who show up. One of them is John Hamm plays an FBI agent who is undercover as a vacuum salesman. And the whole hotel is just weird and run down. But clearly at some time, it is currently in the 70s. Mm-hmm. It's sort of in the Nixon era. It's definitely fallen on hard times for a number of reasons. So several people show up, including a priest who turns out not to be a priest and, a singer, a young woman who is a singer who's not tremendously, well known or popular, but she's there and she has a gig in the area. And ultimately, a young woman shows up with somebody in tow who is tied up in her trunk. So we figure, oh my God, there's something bad going down here. But there are some surprises. There's a fair bit of singing. The young woman, the singer, is actually excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So I would... It certainly didn't put me to sleep. It wasn't quite as good as I thought it could have been if they had made a few editing changes.
Mm-hmm.
But it was lots of surprises, lots of violence, if that's what turns your crank. There was a lot of shooting. Oh, sorry. And Chris Hemsworth is... in the movie as a Manson-like figure. And it was from that same period, who has a cult in the area, somewhere in either Nevada or California. And he was very good. I mean, he happens to be good anyway. Sometimes mm-hmm. he plays these more or less one-dimensional characters, but in this one, he was... very sexy, very smooth, but really quite evil, and very good at playing this kind of a role. So, if you like Chris Hemsworth, which I do, then you know going to see the movie was just kind of fun to see his performance. And Jeff Bridges is always good. He played the priest who wasn't a priest, and Dakota Johnson, of the 50 Shades of Grey fame. Also very good. She plays the young woman who who shows up with a body, or at least a prisoner, in the trunk of her car. So I went, unfortunately, it's not here anymore. When it comes to video, I would say absolutely, you know, mm-hmm. rent this one. It is quite fun. It's not funny. There's not many humorous moments, but it is, you know, it certainly keeps one's interest. Okay, and the second movie that I saw is the one that is in fact still playing at the Maison de Cinema, and it's called the Sisters Brothers. That's had to be explained to me on at least one occasion.
So
the last name is Sisters.
Okay.
So it's the Sisters Brothers. There's no sister involved. That's mm-hmm. their last name. And it centers on two brothers, Eli and, I forgot Eli's brother's name, but Eli and his brother, who are killers. but it's in the West, it's in the Old West during the Gold Rush. Mm-hmm. And much of it is set in the area where the Gold Rush took place. And in fact, the plot of the story, a formula which one of the characters, Herman Kermit Worm, has developed a special formula which he uses to find gold in the streams of the Gold Rush area, sort of north mm-hmm. in the San Francisco area. And the two killers, are looking for him because they've been hired by their boss, who's called the Commodore, and he's up in their hometown of Oregon City, to get the formula from Herman. Without going into huge detail, mm-hmm. The movie really, yes, there is a plot. Clearly, there's a plot. You know, there's plenty of action, but the movie, to me, seems to mostly focus on the two brothers, Charlie was the other one, Charlie and Eli, who are quite different from each other, but it's their repartee, it's their relationship, which really anchors the movie. Charlie is actually pretty happy being a killer. Eli, who is his older, more thoughtful brother, isn't. And they talk quite a bit. It's a fairly talky movie. But I found when I watched it, and initially I said, oh, you know what? I'm reading the book now. I'm totally enjoying the book. And I'm finding that the movie is not as good as the book, which is always a sort of a stupid thing to say, because the movie and the book are two different entities, mm-hmm. and movies, being very visual, typically have a lot more action and a lot less talk.
Mm-hmm.
And the book was narrated by Eli, the thoughtful older brother, and you get a lot of his perspective, whereas the movie, there is that, but there's also the action component, and that's kind of played up.
Mm-hmm.
But still, the two brothers, and then the two other main characters in the movie, the inventor of the formula and another of the Commodore's employees who has found him first. He was supposed to find this guy and just kind of hold on to him until the killer brothers showed up so that he could be killed. But that plan goes totally out the window. I won't give away a whole lot more about it. Definitely, especially if you like Westerns, if you like these kind of nouveau Westerns where, as in this one, the brothers, or the characters, in this case brothers, they're thinking people and they have emotions, and there's a bit of humor. It seems to me there's more humor in the book than there was in the movie, but one of the humorous bits, which reoccurs in the book and a little bit less in the movie, has to do with the older brother, Eli, discovering toothpaste.
Okay.
He had no idea about brushing his teeth and using minty fresh tooth powder. So that's a kind of a little humorous aspect. But again, more in the book than in the movie, because the movie, being a movie, has to spend a lot more time on very visual things. It was filmed in Europe, by the way.
Okay.
And very spectacular. They had somehow they got mountains to look just like the mountains that you would find in the American West. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they are, possibly Romania, but visually it's quite a spectacle. So, my friends and I gave the movie on the lobster scale, which you know about now, of 5 lobsters, we gave it 3.
Mm-hmm.
And having now read a bit further into the book, I hadn't finished it when I saw the movie, and I'm still reading the book, but I'm finding that, in fact, it did follow, not to a T, but it has followed the book quite closely, and turns out to be probably not the 3 lobsters that I originally gave it, but maybe 3.5 or 4.
Okay.
I revised my lobster rating a little bit. It wasn't absolutely riveting, I must admit. And unless there's something special about it, chances are that I will start to lose a bit of interest, and then something has to snap me back to attention. Good movie. It is still playing there in English. And if you like Westerns, if you happen to like the author, Patrick DeWitt, or any of the characters, the Joaquin Phoenix and John C. Reilly and Jake Gyllenhaal, have the 3 lead roles, and they're all excellent. Mm. They're all fine actors, and they get into their characters very nicely. And the 3rd movie, which I really won't spend time on, except to say that it is one that you can't see it locally anymore, but definitely when it comes out in video, it's worth watching. It's called Colette.
Okay.
And it centers on the rather famous French author from the latter part of the 19th century, the okay. fin de siècle era. Colette is a woman in France, marries a considerably older man who discovers, they seem to be very much in love at the beginning, and then discovers that as time goes on, he's cheating on her, and he's, more importantly, he's using her to do his writing. She writes, and she writes well, mm-hmm. and he just adds little things and then puts his name on her writing. And okay. and her writings, and this is absolutely true, it's based on a true story. Her writings are wildly popular, hugely popular. They're fads. There's her character, Claudine, in the book, dresses in a certain way and acts in a certain way. Has her hair cut in a certain way, and next thing you know, all the young women in Paris are trying to be and look like Claudine, just like a fad that we mm-hmm. would have going today. Anyway, very interesting movie, very well done. Keira Knightley is actually excellent as Colette, and it's more than a little racy.
Okay.
So anyway, that's just a heads up that it is there is a fair bit of sex in the movie, and it would be a movie that I would say if you have an interest in literature for starters, or if you like to go to movies that are set mm-hmm. in France, and certainly if you have an interest in this particular author, Colette, who was incredibly successful as an author, she ended up writing. At least 30 books, and she had a very interesting life. She was on the stage, and she did this, and she did that. So, good movie fodder. Definitely one that I would say when it you can't see it here, but when it comes in video on Netflix or the Movie Network or whatever, certainly worth seeing.
Good, sounds great.
Yeah. So those are the 3 I actually saw this mm-hmm. week, and the ones that I didn't see, but I'm kind of hoping to see. There's one called Free Solo, which is a movie that won a number of prizes at the Toronto International Film Festival recently. And Free Solo refers to people who climb rock faces. Well, I guess rocks, basically, rocks and cliffs and so on, with little, if any, equipment. So,
oh, wow.
I've seen, not obviously not up close, but I've certainly seen on the screen this kind of rock climbing. And it's just, you know, your heart is in your throat the whole time when you're watching this. But although I don't like horror movies, but I do like to get frightened by this kind of thing. So it looks like a movie that I would definitely enjoy. And it's playing in English.
Okay.
Free Solo. And it is there now. But it sounds like don't wait for any length of time to see it, because it won't be there for long. It's certainly not the last week, but, you know, things come and things go rather quickly at the Maison.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I reviewed last, I think, not last time, but the time before, A Star is Born. Big mega hit, and it's still there.
Oh, good.
And it's definitely worth seeing. Music, performances, story, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween, which is just killing it at the box office, is still there, and I suspect will be there for a little while. That's the one which I may send my husband to see and then report on. Another movie which is there in English now, it's new this week, is called Johnny English. And it's a comedy with Rowan Atkinson playing the character of Johnny English. I think it's maybe a sequel to a previous Johnny English movie. But it's slapstick comedy having to do with spies, and set like a little while ago. Haven't seen it. I may not see it, but it looks like it would be fun. Another one still there in English. Just one second. Venom is still there in English. Again, doing really well at the box office. I think every critic hated it, but it was audience appeal is huge. So people are going to see Venom. I will not go see Venom. Again, I may send my husband to see that, and he can talk about it afterwards. Okay, coming along for the upcoming week, you're going to hear this on Friday. So starting today, we have upcoming movies in English include Disney extravaganza called The Nutcracker and the Four Realms. All I know is what I've seen in the previews, which is basically, you know, you think you know the Nutcracker? Well, you don't.
Okay.
Here's the Nutcracker as you've never seen it before, and it's very glitzy and colorful and splashy, and it reminded me much of the one that the Disney movie that I saw a few months ago and spoke about here, which was just too Disneyfied, too over the top. And I have a feeling this one may be in that same realm. But anyway, The Nutcracker and the Four Realms begins Friday the 2nd. One that I do want to see is called, and again starting on Friday, is Bohemian Rhapsody. And this is the story of Queen, the rock group Queen, and their lead singer, and I think founder, Freddie Mercury. And part of the reason that it interests me is because although I'd heard the name Bohemian Rhapsody, and I think I'd heard snippets in the past, roughly 2 years ago, the University Singers at Bishop's, of which I am part, did Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay.
So I had to learn this, and it's just so much fun. It's wonderful to sing, and I think that the movie is, again, big, splashy, oversized movie about this rock group from a number of years ago. Freddie Mercury died not real recently, but not that long ago. So they're world famous, Queen and Freddie Mercury, and this is their story. I think I will be recommending it. I will recommend it to myself, but I'll find out after having seen it whether it's one that I would say, oh, this is a must-see.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that the people who would be the most interested in seeing it would be rock aficionados, especially hard rock. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm going to go see it, but not as a hard rock person, but just as somebody who wants to see the story of Bohemian Rhapsody. And that's it for this week.
Okay.
Some good ones coming, but not yet.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, Melanie.
Oh, can I add one little thing?
Sure.
I'm sorry. And this is of interest. The Colette film, mm-hmm. as, from what I could tell by looking at the website for the Maison de Cinema, obviously an English movie, it just never came in English to the Maison de Cinema. I kept checking to see if, maybe it's one of these movies that you have to look further into the website mm-hmm. to see if it's in both languages. As far as I could tell, it never was. But the surprising thing is that at the Magog Cinema,
okay,
a place I don't think I've ever been to, mm-hmm. it was there.
Interesting.
In English.
Wow. That's so interesting.
So a friend and I made a point of driving to Magog, mm-hmm. and it was, I believe last night was its last night.
Okay.
So again, unfortunately, good movie that you won't be able to see mm-hmm. in English. But I thought, well, this is an interesting trend mm-hmm. if the cinema in Magog is bringing in English movies, because they have never been known to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's a much smaller cinema. It's got three rooms, three mm-hmm. Cinemas. Mm-hmm. So they can't do what they do at the Maison de Cinema, right, where they have 16 cinemas. So, mm-hmm. for example, this particular movie was showing in English only three times in the week.
Okay.
So it's a little harder to mm-hmm. to actually catch these movies. But anyway, I think it's a good trend.
It is.
So
yeah,
kudos
nice.
To them.
Yeah.
And very inexpensive. $6.50 is what they charged me. Mm-hmm. I think that's the universal price, but I could be wrong. And it was just as I say, it was just kind of a nice surprise.
Yeah,
to
was.
Find English movies yeah, outside nice. Of Maison de Cinema.
Mm-hmm. Good.
That's it for me. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay. Well, thanks very much.
You're welcome.